Good morning, Teachers on Fire. Welcome back to another Teachers on Fire podcast live stream, an interview feature that I've been running every Saturday for the last few weeks. And I'm excited this week to welcome a friend, an online friend, one that I look forward to meeting IRL, Josh Tovar. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tim. Thank you for having me here today on Thanksgiving. Well wishes to everybody out there. Hope you're working out all those 7 billion calories. I went to the gym in the morning, but you know what? I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this, and I've been following you for a while. We've talked before, and it's nothing better than to have great minds like yours making me a better version of myself. Like you know, I always say, iron sharpens iron, and it's crucial that we have these conversations to always make everybody else just a little bit better, because that's what our kids deserve. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
You are already pumping me up, my friend. Josh Tovar, Teachers on Fire, is the proud principal at Memorial Pathway Academy in Garland ISD. He's been in education for over 30 years and has served at all levels, from elementary to university. He's the proud son of Virginia and Jesus Tovar, a proud immigrant to the USA and a former U.S. Marine. You can follow Josh on X at two places, at JT Spotlights and at MPA underscore Go Jaguars. Josh, thanks again for coming on the show today. Are you ready to light it up?
Let's go. I'm always on fire. Let's do this, Tim. Let's do this. Let's go.
Why don't you start by telling us a little bit more about your wonderful community?
You know what? I'm part of the Garland ISD district in Texas, and it's a beautiful campus. If you want me to just focus on MPA right now, it's a beautiful little school that is composed of two major programs and a third one that we blend together. And our campus is composed of all the kids that come in from out of the country, Vietnam, Africa, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, so on and so forth. And they go to our home to acquire their first language, obviously their second language, which is English. And it's our job to nurture them, love them, because it's very traumatic. Obviously, I was that student. I was that immigrant that came from another country to the United States and had to learn English. So you have to embed not only the knowledge, but also the love and care, because it's very traumatic for us when we come to this country. And the second part of it are the brand new student, or the students that are at comprehensive schools, but face a lot of adversity. You and I know, Tim, it doesn't matter how long we've been in this profession. Life finds obstacles for us a lot of times. And sometimes as kids, they have no control over the situations that they're in. And MPA is one of those places that brings in that teen parent, that brings in that kid that is 18, that either had obstacles created for him or he or she created obstacles for themselves. But it's our job to make sure that we provide that Linus blanket, that comfort zone, to where they will not be successful at the comprehensive school, but they will be with us. It's a special program to ensure that they get their high school diploma and give them a fighting chance for the next stage in life. And then our third program, which is kind of a combination of both, we're getting a lot, I don't know about you, you're in Canada, correct? We're getting a lot of kids in Texas. You know, this is where the funnel is. We're having a lot of 18, 17-year-old kids that come to us with 0 credits and or maybe 3 credits that actually transfer over to the United States. And so what we try to do is we blend them into that other program. So we call it our blended program. So that is, in a nutshell, our beautiful little community that is Memorial Pathway Academy in Garland ISD, which is nothing but a magical place for success, because all those educators create a loving environment for our Jaguars. And you know, it's nonstop appreciation for them, because you know what? Kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is the line that needs to be said across the world, not just in the United States, not just in Canada, because you know what? Once we make a connection with them, they will contend with us.
That was the line I was looking for in my previous episode. Kids won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's a well-worn cliche, but is it powerful. And Josh, your community sounds so amazing. Thank you for all the work that you do. We're going to talk more about it in a few minutes, but you touched on it. My next question for you, do you have a story of adversity that comes from your education journey that you're able to share with the Teachers on Fire today?
Well, I'll give you two brief ones. Obviously, there's a lot of attachments when you face adversity. It's not just like a little rock in your shoe that you get rid of. Obviously, the number one thing is that when I came over to this country, I'm a product of full immersion. when I arrived here to Texas. And we came in from a sense of poverty, obviously, in Ciudad Juarez, Chihuahua, Mexico. And when we arrived, my mom decided to select a house surrounded by a military base, which was comprised of Fort Bliss. For those of you who don't know, it's a big military base in Texas. And that area was comprised of lieutenants, colonels, high-ranking officials, and their wives would be our teachers, our educators. And the thing is that they obviously did not know how to connect with someone like myself. So it was a very troubling situation. I'm glad I had a mom that pushed me, whether in a nice way or not a nice way, a good old Hispanic mom, which is, hey, you will learn this language. Because when we arrived, they wanted to drop me back to kindergarten, lay a foundation. I should have been in second grade when I arrived here. But they said, you need to learn this much vocabulary in this amount of time. If not, we're going to drop you to kinder. Imagine me in kinder, you know, 2 years behind. That is ridiculous. But that's what happened. That was the thought process back then. We cannot judge today's standards on back then's mentality. It's wrong. It's wrong. And I see that a lot as a history teacher. We just need to make sure that during that time, that was the thought process. So it was very challenging. But you know what? With the support that I had at home, with the support of just pushing forward, I was able to overcome whatever obstacles were there in life. And then another one, and I think this is one of the things, Tim, that a lot of us don't talk about, is the adversity that happens within the system, the education system. I don't know about you, but there was a time like around 14 years ago that I've been on the good side of politics and on the bad side of politics. You know what I'm talking about, Tim. There's good politics and bad politics in our field. And so I've always been in the good side, but there was a time that I was in the bad side. And so we had a situation where there was an interim superintendent. There was an interim principal at the school that I was at. And in a nutshell, they sent me over and they said, hey, Josh, we need you to move. And I'm thinking, okay, you know what happens in the United States? They move people from one place to another place, one school to another school. Well, they told me, well, you know what? You have a choice of either being moved to HVAC or transportation. Let me repeat that again. HVAC to transportation. So obviously, this was not a very warm and fuzzy meeting. So Tim, if I was to tell you, Tim, right now I want you to make a life decision career. You've been an assistant principal for so many years at the elementary, middle school, and high school level. Tim, can you please determine the best fit for you, HVAC or transportation?
Ouch.
You know, this was a very troubling and painful situation. But you know what? It is what it happens with politics. So rule out there. Hey, educator out there, know your politics. Understand your politics. Know who has the silent power around you and know who has the alliances. And it's crucial because it does happen in the chair that we sit in at all levels. Look at a football coach. They don't win. There's that silent politics going on out there in the stands. So that adversity, I selected being placed in transportation, and it was the best thing. I truly believe this, Tim. Hear me out. God puts you where he needs you to be. God will place you where he needs you and where you need to be. And let me tell you, during that time, I was working, being an assistant principal at a high school, I was working 14, 15 hour days. That's what happens. Schools in Texas are very big, 1,800, 3,000 kids. So you put in the time, you put in the work to be the best version of yourself. And so this job took me from 18 hours to working maybe 5 hours a day, 6 hours, actual work. Because, you know, if they're out in the field, the buses are out in the field, there's nobody there. There's no interaction. You're not dealing with discipline. You're not dealing with issues. And so I did not allow their politics to bring me down. I kept pushing ahead because, you know what? Hard work always pays out. People will always see you put in the work and put in the time and loving what you're doing. And you know what? I became the best transportation supervisor out there. And I didn't let anyone see me cry. I didn't let anyone see me get me down. And when I was placed back on a campus 2 years later, all the drivers are like, come back, Mr. Tohada, come back. We miss you. We miss you. Because you know what? We're not in the science business. We're not in the math business. We're not in the history business. We're in the people business. And as long as we make that connection with people, it doesn't matter what echelon, what billet you serve. As long as you're supporting people, they will always ensure that they got your back. And you know what? These two experiences of learning English, going through people that didn't understand Spanish, they were all from South Carolina. They were all from Virginia. They didn't understand one thing. They even renamed me, Tim. I go by Josh. You know me by Josh, but that's not right. My name. One of the Hispanic teachers there said, these ladies can't say your name, Federico Josué Tovar. So they renamed me. You're Josh now. From that moment on, I've been Josh. They renamed me because they couldn't say Federico Josué. So mm-hmm. I was renamed Josh. And you know, again, there's a lot of people that get very upset about that and about the system and the man. That's what happened. And I'm Josh. And over here, it doesn't matter what obstacle was placed in front of me. I looked at it and I made it and I became the best at whatever it is. So whatever you do, dog catcher, dishwasher, teacher, coach, be the best version of that. And you will always be successful. And people will always say, you know what? That dude, that lady puts in the time and the work.
Josh, Josué, you are already dropping so many bombs. I am loving this. Wow, podcast made already, and we're early into this. Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing those two stories. Well, the next question up, Josh, I want to talk about what you do on the regular so well. And looking through your feed just yesterday, I could see you're doing more of it this week. What motivates you to share your school's story of learning and growth and celebrate your students the way that you do?
You see, we always talk about connections over content. That means that someone that sits in my chair as the campus principal, I need to role model those expectations. I need to set the tone of what is expected. Because nobody that sits in your chair, Tim, or my chair, nobody below us in our sphere of influence respects people that speak it, but don't bring it. You can't, as Principal Cafele says, you can't fake the funk. If you say you want this, you have to role model it. So it's out there. But not only out there, Tim, there's something out there going on in our community that is always dividing us. In education, they look for a wedge about schools this, schools that, or about this race with this race. You know what? I have a platform, and my platform is to make sure that I propose ideas of how to bond together, how to get together, and always highlight the positive things. Because you know what? People complain, I have no kids in school. My taxes go to this. Oh, I have no kids in school. You know what? Your taxes are paying success. Not only that, but look at the beautiful things that are going on with the future of America. I'm pretty sure that people, when I came to this country in the late 70s, people were saying, why am I paying for that kid that just came to this country? No, you know, it's about making sure that people out there see the success that's going on, the loving and caring nature. Because you know what? We have to nurture our kids at an early age, because if we don't, then they become broken adults. And you know what? It's more expensive to care for a broken adult. So it's very important that as educators, we always propose the best ideas for them. Hey, how about doing this? How about doing this? How can we do this? And it's always about not only showing the magic that happens in our home, but also if I'm talking about honoring all the different races and nationalities at MPA, I gotta role model it, right? So whenever it's Hispanic Heritage Month, I always put something out there. I'm like at 90%. You know what? There's only so much I could post, but I could claim 90%. Whenever it's Italian American Month, I didn't see anyone post out there, but I think Italian Americans need to be German American Month, Irish American Month. Right now it's Native American Heritage Month. We cannot say we're stronger together if someone in our chair does not use their platform to actually show, hey, this individual comes from the Native American heritage. Let's honor their hard work for our beautiful country. So it's not only the academics. It's not only the hard work that our team members in the classroom are doing, but also as society, because that wedge, someone is driving the wedge between us, and we need to obliterate that with posting positivity. And that's why if you see, I have two different X channels. One is the campus, and the other one is just I try to promote positive stuff, because I know that negativity is not out there, but we need more people to promote the positivity happening not only at the campus, but in our beautiful society. So I think that that's our role. And if we have a platform, we need to make sure that we use it.
you can't follow Josh, particularly at his MPA account, without getting the message that he loves his community, he loves his staff, he loves his students. And Josh, that is compelling, you know, for the people in your community and those outside of it. So principals, building leaders, take note of what Josh is doing. Make sure you're giving him a follow. Well, on a similar note, Josh, you do this work so well with Dean Packard over at Unlock the Middle. You run a show just like this one, although better, because you're always connecting with so many different speakers and leaders on a weekly basis. I don't know how, I know what the behind the scenes work looks like. So I don't know how you and your partner are able to keep up with it all, but you have these amazing guests. You engage in these learning conversations. What has that been like and how has it impacted you?
You know what? It's been such an awesome thing as a professional. A couple of years ago, I'm going on 2 years being with Dean, and there was another gentleman, Chris. They created this podcast during, like everybody else did during Rona, the lockdown. And so one day they invited me and said, hey, you're a turnaround principal. You turned around the school, right? Yeah. And so from that moment on, we started going together. We started, you know, and the show has evolved thanks to Dean's vision. Dean started off with just a Sunday show, which is where we still have, that's still there, the flagship show that has, like you stated, Tim, authors, speakers, just that whole lineage of educators that bring their knowledge, and it's our time to sharpen the tools. But then Dean said, hey, you know what? How about we do something quick? And he goes, well, what are you looking for? Well, something quick to where we actually bring in real world. And that's the Monday show. That's office hours. So it's a 20-minute real world example that something's happened to an administrator out there. And we bring in administrators from all over the United States, parts of the world also. And we say, how would you fix this in 20 minutes? Because you know what there is? And we don't give the scenario to them. Because you know, Tim, when something falls in our lap, it's out of nowhere. And we need to be able to react in a professional, loving, caring way, even if there were violations of rules. So the scenario sent to everybody 2 minutes before we go live. This is a scenario. And then you have the Red Zone show, which are panels. We have superintendent panels, associate superintendent panels. This last, I highly encourage everyone to see this last Wednesday show. It was all teachers. You know what? We don't promote the beautiful things and why people become educators. We forget that. Why do we have a shortage in education? Because you know what? We are shooting ourselves in the foot as educators. We post all these things on social media. And if you're a college student, you're going to say, why do I want to go to that field? I don't want to go to toxicity. Let's promote the beautiful things that are out there. It's so beautiful seeing the pop in kids' life. It's so beautiful to see when you're looking your rattiest, your ugliest, in sandals, in shorts with a hoodie, and that kid that gave you the business 5 years ago found you and said, hey, is that you, Tovar? Yeah, I want to thank you. You're the person that only talked to me. You're the person that only gave me a birthday card. That's it. That's what people need to hear. That's that invisible paycheck that I always talk about that we get every time we interact with our formers. Our former students will always validate the hard work and dedication because we're in the people business. So it's one of those things that as an educator, it's crucial that we always keep on promoting those things that are in our education. And that's why those shows on Sunday, on Monday, and Wednesdays are specific to an audience. You know, we hope everyone sees every single last one of them because they're all real world. And you know what? It's actual live from the heart conversations. So when we have bus drivers together and then we have superintendents and then we had five state champion football coaches. Tell me those are not leaders. If you won football championship in your state, you know you're doing something awesome to lead men, young men. So it's all those different topics. And like you said, Tim, it's hard, but you know what? Dean does it. Dean brings everyone together, programs the show, and ready to rock and roll because that's the learning experience that we all need. And it's free. Educator, it's free. What Tim is doing nonstop every Saturday, giving you those tech tips and then bringing in a guest, it's free. You don't need a PO. You don't need to go pay for travel. You don't need to stay at a hotel. It's free, guys. Take advantage of this tool that you become the best version of yourself, because we tell that to kids, right? Always keep on learning. You're a lifelong learner. So, hey, educator in South Dakota. Hey, educator in Montana. Are you a lifelong educator? Are you a lifelong learner? Are you listening to podcasts? Are you following people on social media so that you can learn something better for your kids? I ask you. Reply in the comments.
So good. And again, shout out to Dean Packard and Unlock the Middle. If you're not connected there, make sure you check it out. Surf on over to Unlock the Middle on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button and get ready for value. Like Josh mentioned, I like hearing that question. What inspired you to enter the profession or something like that? Oh, Josh, I don't know if I'm getting the words exactly right, but what inspired you to join the profession or become an educator, and the stories and the ideas that come out of that are so valuable, so helpful. Well, Josh, I want to talk about something that you represent on your social media so well. Three things, in fact, three pillars, and maybe there are more, but I notice faith, family, and fitness and what they mean to you. I'd love to hear more about that and the role. And I'll just say on the fitness front, man, you have pushed me on the 10,000 steps a day. That is a daily goal for me. You push me on getting to the gym. I'd love to hear more about that. But what do these three F's mean to you in terms of lighting your work as an education leader?
You know what? They're all intertwined with me, Tim. They're intertwined because you know what? I can have a strong family. I'm an old guy, Tim. I've been in this job for over 30 years. And you know, sitting in our chair, it really drains you, right? It really drains you. And I have a four-year-old. I became a dad late in life, all right? So I need to make sure that I take care of this shell right here. I always talk about the shell, because what matters is my spirit, the spirit that he gave me, the spirit that my children have, not only my children at work, but my children at home. And that spirituality, I cannot do anything without his guidance, without me always being thankful. Thanksgiving is, for me, is not just a day with turkey. Thanksgiving is every single last day that I'm able to wake up and enjoy it. And you know what? When I saw my mom passing a very hard way, I faced death a couple of times. I've been able to every single last day say, you know what? Muchas gracias, Dios mío. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to wake up. Thank you for allowing me to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and be at the gym by 4:15. Because you know what? I need to make sure that I take care of this shell, because I know you're taking care of my spirit. And when I do that, I can better role model my three boys. I can better role model with my wife. I could better be a version of myself, because you know what? I'm not only teaching my three boys, but I'm going to be teaching my grandchildren through them. And if we can pray before every meal, if we can read together as a family, if I started taking them to the gym also, you know, they don't keep up with me, but you know what? I'm taking them to the gym. And it's those things that we establish, those patterns of behavior, those patterns of success, then we will be okay. And nothing cannot happen throughout his grace, throughout his will that he has provided me. And you know what? I'm just his faithful servant. And that's why every time I think of something negative comes across, I'm human. I'm a flawed creature. I know I create errors. I know that I sin. I know I don't live up by his standards. But you know what? I always keep in mind that every Sunday that we go as a family, that we pray, that we talk to him, and we become better versions of ourselves, because then that way we could spread the positivity out to everybody. I'm not here to impose on you what my belief is. I'm here to impose on you that I care about you and I love you. I care about you, my brother. And so you hear me say, brother, hermano. We're not blood. We're not, you know what? You're my spiritual brother. Tim, I always call you hermano. You're my hermano from the same Lord and Savior. And I believe that he will carry me through. He carried my mom through a hard time. Now she's watching me from up there. Carried my dad. He's watching me from up there. Carried me through a couple of life experiences that I would never want to relive again. But he's kept me. He's kept me here because I have a purpose in life. When I was able to survive all those things that I've gone through, I have a purpose in life. And you know what? That purpose is to always improve and becoming a better version of myself. And that can only happen if I take care of the shell. I create better children, in other words, at work, but also with my three boys, to spread out the positivity. And I could only do it the best that I can by always honoring him.
We are imperfect vessels embracing the grace, right? And stepping forward humbly to share his love with others. And that motivates us and hopefully makes us better educators. So I do appreciate that connection. And Josh, continue to do what you do. I have to ask actually quickly before we move on, what time do you go to bed in order to wake up at 3:30?
I normally 10:30.
Okay.
So my life is normally 4 hours of sleep or 5 hours of sleep.
Okay.
Well, I've done that since I've been an educator. I only sleep like 5 hours per day.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I know different bodies require different amounts of sleep. So if that is working for you, more power to you, my friend. Well, Josh, I want to give you an opportunity to get on your soapbox if there is something else out there that is setting you on fire about education today. There are so many issues. What is really on your mind these days, maybe coming from some recent conversations on Unlock the Middle?
I think the number one thing is that we keep on promoting the beautiful thing that is our field. There's an exodus. I don't know about Canada. You could tell me, but there's an exodus from the teaching field. I still have a vacancy. Look at what month it is. I still have a vacancy in our campus. And our campus is small, which would be an ideal place to start off your teaching education. But that only happens, and it sets me on fire because we are not promoting the beautiful things that we do. And then a lot of people are not promoting it. Our customers are here, guys. These are our customers.
Right.
They're here. And I have a lot of administrators still that, oh, I don't do that. Oh, I don't touch that. If you're not on social media, you still buy your pants at Montgomery Ward. You still rent your movies from Blockbuster. So put down the beta and get on X. Because that's how you're going to be connecting with them. You need to be where your kids are. You need to be where your parents are. They need to see the beautiful things that you're doing. You're working for so many hours. So we need to promote the greatness. Don't let someone else control the narrative on their Facebook about your campus, about your kids. You control the narrative. And the only way you're going to do it is by being in that arena. And so you might be uncomfortable with it, but it can happen. I can let you know. All it does for us at all the schools I've been at is enhance the climate and the culture of it. So let's talk up our field. We're in the best profession, the profession that creates all the other professions in the world. We're in education. So educator, be upset. Go yell. Go yell at your administrator. Go yell at your department head, whatever it is, and then you talk things out. But don't be posting it all over. Stop chop blocking. Let's stop chop blocking each other. This is a great field. Hey, Tim, when you were in the classroom and you just taught that lesson and that kid that never got anything, he never understood one darn thing you ever taught him. But then you saw pop. You saw the eyes always followed by the ever traditional, boom, baby. That's why you're in education. You just scored the touchdown for the Super Bowl, and it's such a beautiful feeling. So, educator out there, please promote the great things that are happening at your school. Administrator out there, yes, touch it. Yes, not only for your selfies, but for your campus. And make sure that you connect with other great educators, because it's not only promoting what's going on at your campus, but it's about connecting. This guy right here, where are you? Right here, this guy right here. He's in Canada. We've been connecting through this, He motivates me. He inspires me because of all the content that's out there. So I try to follow him because it's about making those connections. So educator, connect with your kids. Promote the beautiful things that are going on in your campus. Promote the beautiful things and achievement that your kids are. Because you know what? That one post might be what turned around that kid. It might be that one thing that turned around and made them become the next superintendent of your district, become the next mayor. I don't know what it is, because you all know, we've all faced this. One individual has always inspired us. One individual or one statement has stayed back here. It stayed back there, and you're like, that's my motivation. That is my jet fuel. So be out there, promote it. Use social media for the positive things that are, and stop speaking ill of our schools. Stop. If you have a problem, go to the horse's mouth. Have the wherewithal. Don't be a keyboard commando. Have the wherewithal to confront individuals in a professional way. And I can guarantee you one thing. I don't know about you, Tim, but you seem like the guy that will always look for a win-win situation the best that we can.
Absolutely. I could not say it any better. And recently, Josh, I actually made a mistake. I actually shared something that in very generic, non-specific terms about some challenge I was dealing with in my community, and it didn't get a great response. And I learned a lesson, like keep it positive, keep it positive. There's absolutely no reason to share anything negative. And certainly, as you said, if it relates to another human being, if it relates to a building leader or administrator, go directly to the person, have that conversation in their office. No need to share it with the community. That's not going to help anyone. Well, Josh, I want to keep moving along. Are you looking or do you have a professional goal in mind? And I'm putting you on the spot here. I don't know if there's a particular goal. I know you're a very growth-minded educator, so maybe there isn't one in particular, but have you got a particular target that you're thinking about for this year?
You know what? In 2013, I began going to conferences. And it became a way of, you know, experiencing. That's the first time I heard Todd Whitaker. And I'm like, oh, the little fat angel babies playing with a harp. Oh, you know, little unicorns and rainbows all over. And so from that moment on, I became hooked. But I would sit at some conferences, no disrespect to anybody, but I'm like, how long have you been doing that? Are you an actual practitioner of what you're bringing to the table? Well, let me see the street cred. I don't know about you, Tim, but I believe in having street cred. It's making sure that when you're presenting in front of your peers that you bring that to the table. So along the way, you know, go, hey, you know what? I think I could do this. So my goal this year, the Lord has blessed me that the last year and a half I've been able to present at state conferences. So my goal this year is, God willingly, NASSP allows me to present in Tennessee. So I'll be submitting a proposal in there about social media or working with EB students. And the thing is, because I feel that I bring that street cred that someone else in Iowa, Montana, California can use to become a better version of yourselves, because it goes back to the same adage, iron sharpens iron. And so that's one of my goals, because then you say, you know what? Hey, you could do it. You could do it also. Bring the knowledge to somebody else so that they become the best version of themselves.
I was just listening to Adam Grant and Jay Shetty yesterday talk about, wow, there's no better way to make that information and the expertise settle more deeply than if you're actually put in a position where you're leading that workshop, where you're actually teaching others. You've actually now got to articulate your knowledge and expertise. You're the guy to do it. I hope they accept your proposals, and I hope you get into those conferences. That's exciting, and I wish you well in those ventures. Well, Josh, when you leave the building, we've already talked about faith, family, and fitness, so I don't know if there is anything else that matters in your life, but is there another hobby or activity that brings more fire to you and charges you up for those times when you do come back into the building?
Making sure that I'm the best dad that I can be. I did not have the ideal growing up. I had a very bad childhood. I was that horrible high school student that would ditch a lot. I would go drink in Juarez, which was the border city to El Paso. I was an alcoholic. I didn't care about a lot of things. I'm a child of divorce. And so I never knew what a nuclear family was. I never knew what having family traditions are. You know what I mean? So I was that cub, that cub out in the middle of the forest by himself. And it was very scary when I became a dad, because I didn't have those rituals. I didn't have those things. Even as a family, we were not an effective family because we were always separated. The only thing that brought us together was traditional holidays. Other than that, we wouldn't see each other. And so my passion and my fire is making sure that I'm able to hold and smell my four-year-old in a good way, my middle school kid, my high school kid, and that I bring the best version of me to them. and obviously to my wife also, because she is the one that brings us all together. I feel sorry for her. Four guys, one woman. That's not good. Those are not good odds for her. But you know what? It's becoming the best dad that I can be, having patience, because how I treat my wife, how I treat them, is how they will envision what the world is as a reality. So I need to make sure that I'm always working on myself to be a good dad.
Josh, you've brought so much value. My heart is already so full. Are you ready as we start to wrap up for the rapid fire round?
Let's go. Shoot, brother.
All right. Well, let's start by sharing one. Is there one app, habit, or productivity tip that helps you get it all done?
Oh, my phone and all the apps that put all the collages together. I'm trying Voxer. I'm not very good at it, but that's the thing that's being used out there by a lot of administrators. So I want to be sinking in a little bit better to Voxer.
One person that we need to follow on Education X.
All right. Now, Tim, you got to give me, you got to give me a couple seconds, right? I know you got to give me, you know that, right? Okay. Real quick. Top 12, Principal Cafele, Dean Packard, Jimmy Casas, this guy right here, the guy next to me, that guy right here, Tim Cavey, Teachers on Fire, Chica Houston, Sean Hurt, Ross Gaskins, Todd Whitaker, Jorge Valenzuela, Eric Francis, Sean Gaylord, Ryan Reed, and Barbara Bray. All those educators make me a better version of myself. You have to follow them on X.
I just asked you for a productivity tool, and you talked about photo apps that generate collages, good collages in a short amount of time. Is there another ed tech tool that you're using somewhere in your practice right now?
No, and you know what? I don't fake the funk. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still a paper guy.
Okay.
I'm still, right. I use my abacus at work every day to count. I use my protractor. I'm still very old school, guys. Every time that I present to our team members, it's always kinesthetic learning with EB strategies. So it's always hands-on stuff, because everybody else right now is in tune with the – that's a great thing about Corona. It brought all those things to the table.
Right.
But so my job is to do the kinesthetic learning style.
One book pick, Josh.
Four Agreements. Every school I've been at as a leader, we do the Four Agreements as a book study with Don Miguel Ruiz. You have to. If you're a brand new administrator, you have to read that. You have to follow those, and this is my current read.
All right. Barbara Bray.
This is my current read.
Podcasts, other than Unlock the Middle and Teachers on Fire, you are the king of listeners and reviewers. You do such a good job of supporting the edu podcasters out there. Is there one that you would shout out today?
You asked me, so you got to give me 30 seconds, all right? All right, here we go. Schutz and Ties with Brian Miller and Casey Schutz. Aspire to Lead with Josh Stamper. Secret Sauce with Kip Schubert. Why Becoming a Department Chair with Dr. Chris Jokum. Evolving with Gratitude with Lainey Rao. Jimmy Casas, the Interview Chair. Principal Liner Notes with Sean Gaylord. Lifelong Learning with Jorge Valenzuela. Pixel Classroom with Ryan Reed. Get Recharged with Kyle Hill. Teaching Champions with Brian Martin and Barbara Brays.
So good. Josh, who do you think I should interview on the Teachers on Fire podcast? You're so well connected. I know this is hard, but is there one name that comes to mind?
Have you had Eric Francis on?
No.
DOK? Depth yes. of Knowledge? Have you had him on?
No, I haven't.
Tim, that guy right there. You know what? We sat down, we had a couple of lunches together at conferences. Everybody, now that we have the kids back and we're not there with a new version of education right now, it's about how we engage them so they don't take this out. And if we don't question the kids correctly, they're going to take this out. Then it becomes a discipline problem, correct? So his questioning techniques are crucial to engaging bell to bell. I know some people don't like that, like Kevin Curtis, about bell to bell. And I understand why he says that, but it's very important that we have the kids engaged, because there is a gap in knowledge. The pandemic did create a gap, and we're going to live with this gap for at least, I don't know, long time. I don't even want to throw out a number, because this started since kinder. These kids never saw kinder. They started off in second grade. Think about that ripple effect. And then the kids after that started in kinder after Corona really didn't have it because they were still either at home or part-time, you know? So there's a big ripple effect in education. So it's how we engage them with actual activities in the classroom that creates that learning environment and that creates that love, that beautiful passion. Because if you are an awesome person, you know how to get your content into that head by engaging and loving those kids.
YouTube channel, Josh. And now I know not everyone is a subscriber kind of person, but is there one channel that you go to on the regular?
Well, Teachers on Fire, for sure. And you know what? I don't mean to plug or promote anything, but I really suggest that you all listen or go look at JT Spotlights, the YouTube channel that I have, because I interview our Jaguars. Remember, our Jaguars are at-risk kids. Who listens to them, Tim? Who listens to that team parent? Who? Who asks them how they learn? Who asks them what their best teacher is? Nobody asked them. What about that kid that always got referrals, that had like around 40 unexcused periods? Did anyone ever talk to him or her? You know, when I talk to them, they say no. Because I was that kid. I was that kid that had a garbage mentality. No one ever talked to me. I saw my counselor one time in high school in 4 years. They didn't care if I had ditched. I understand it. So I make sure that I give a voice to our kids. Because you know what? Those are our customers. And if we don't listen to them, we don't become better version of ourselves. And we can't support them. Because you know who the future leaders of the country are? They are. And how we prepare them is how they will lead this nation. And they have to have a beautiful heart. Because every time they turn this stuff on, war, destruction, nonsense. So how can we fulfill them with positivity? By giving them a voice.
Josh, what are you streaming? Going a little lighter, a little more fun. On the fun side, what's the Tovar family streaming these days?
We found Grimm.
Okay.
Grimm. I don't know. We just got addicted to it over Thanksgiving. So we're watching. We're in season two. They're quite long, but you know, it helped me bond with one of my boys. So we've been watching Grimm. And that's the only thing we're streaming right now.
Josh, as we close one more time, what are the best ways for the Teachers on Fire out there to connect with you and your work?
Everybody out there, whatever you do, make sure that you keep your hashtags your handles easy. It's MPA Jaguars, MPA Go Jaguars, or JT Spotlights. Those are the things that will be put out there, the things that are the conversations, the positivity that's going out there, but making sure that we all connect. So I highly would appreciate you following, and let me know. I'll follow you back so that I learn from you, because you know what? I don't know it all. The longer I've been in it is the more I learn. I don't know anything. 32 years, 32, Tim, 32, all levels, pre-K, and I've taught at the university level. And the longer I'm in this field, the more I realize I don't know a lot.
That's spoken like a lifelong learner right there. Thank you so much, Josh. I really appreciate your generous time. This has been everything I hoped for and more. Teachers on Fire, I'm your host, Tim Cavey, and I'm so grateful that you decided to spend some of your day listening to this podcast or viewing along with us on YouTube. I hope that in some way the content you heard today from Josh Tovar sparked your thinking and ignited your practice. And I'll meet you next week right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Take care, everyone. Take a moment to share an encouraging message to lift up a colleague and keep your own fire for learning burning bright. Bye-bye. You can still go. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go.